This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Give a dog a treat, they'll love you till they'll put some peanut butter on your... Give them the... Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast, guys. Adam Ray here. Okay. Usually she barks at another... Hey. Oh, you're seeing yourself. She's seeing herself on the camera. Go fuck yourself up. Welcome back to the show, guys. Adam Ray here. Hope you had a great weekend. Sorry for the delay on the episode. We're coming to you on a Tuesday, March 5th. 2024, tonight, Dr. Phil Live with Steph Tolev and Anthony Jeselnik, sold out at the Comedy Store. These shows are selling out before I put the guests online, which is very cool. April 2nd, wow. I'm just going to say that. You know the May 6th show has Bert Kreischer and Mark Normand and other special guests not announced. And then we've got a June 4th date and a July 9th date as well. Tickets at ComedyStore.com. I can't wait to see you guys tonight. I'll be filled out, baby. And ready to jam. Jeselnik and Steph are such different energies. It's going to be a really fun episode. And we've got some other surprises planned. But, you know, Jeselnik is a guy I've been a fan of for a long time. I think most people are, right? If you just love stand-up comedy, he's in your conversation of, like, faves. Great joke writer. Unique delivery. Unique style. Makes even the darkest of topics super light. And it's been cool to get to know him on a personal level and hence felt comfortable enough to ask if he'd come play around on Dr. Phil Live. Steph Tolev, quick friendship built there and just a beast. I mean, they're both beasts in different ways. Do you know what I'm saying? And Steph is just, you know, the energy is, you don't know how you bring that every night, but she does it because she's... a living legend. So that'll be a fun show. Can't wait to see you guys tonight. Comedy Store, 8 p.m. Pickles is roaming around. She's taking a break because we got a new pup. Bagel is a new addition to the Ray family. I know my mom's like, Kid is supposed to be next. And I'm like, hey, bitch. I go, hey, mom. I didn't call my mom bitch. I've never called my mom a bitch. I've gotten mad. Ooh, have I gotten mad and said some nasty things. It's so wild over the years. Probably early single mom days when it was just she and I and my sis and just, you know, trying to be like, I'm a man, give me my space, but then can you help me wash my basketball jersey, please? Because I don't know how to use a laundry machine yet. And just frustrations. And I'm sure deep down, as I could figure out with therapy at some point, that the frustration was coming from, you know, single parent household, her trying to date around and find some love. You know, you look out for your mom in those ways. I always say once I saw my mom as a person and not a parent is when I was like, oh, she needs to find somebody. Because she's sucking the energy out of the room with all of her I'm by myself talk. No, I definitely would stop going to parties in high school my senior year because I was like, she'd be home by herself on a Friday. And I was like, no, not going out. Going to kick with you, watch a movie, or go out, get some food somewhere. And that's why she's the GOAT. Puddin' is my hero. I've said that before. And I'll say it again, Mom, I fucking love you. That being said, we have a second dog, which is like a kid. But it's not a kid, but it's like a kid. It's a lot more responsibility. I'll tell you this much. We wanted Pickles to have a homie. We wanted her to have more stimulation. I think any kid, any pet, does better on their own when they're when they've got more to chew on, literally and figuratively. And Bagel is full of beans, man. And she's got a stinky asshole. She farts a lot. It's fine. Man, which is great, because if I'm letting one slip, I'm like, oh, dude, I'm like, Bagel, Jesus Christ. My wife's like, oh, my God, it's bad now, isn't it? I'm like, it's so bad. Bagel. Bagel's got that doggy butt. But but they are quickly becoming pals. It's taken a beat. Bagel's only been around for less than a week. There is an interesting thing to observe with a dog getting a new pal. Like, it's, I was gone when we got Bagel. I was in Dallas Friday, Saturday, 4 sold-out shows at Hyenas. God bless you guys for coming out. So many people, so many pictures and conversations. We'll get back to that. And then I went to Austin for some mothership shows, and then New York for a commercial, and then Friday, Arizona for some shows and a podcast at Innings Fest, the big music spring training festival. I'll get to all that. I'm gone when my wife gets Bagel, so it's almost like Pickles was like, oh, did we swap dad for a dog? What the fuck? Who knows what these dogs think? Nobody knows what these dogs think. Nobody knows what dogs think. You don't know. Nobody knows. You try to assume you can understand, but they're clicking and ticking. They're emotional. They're tapped in. But Pickles, man, she's been weird. And then I came back and it was all, you know, cupcakes and ham jobs. And she was fired up. But still adjusting, man. And hopefully she fully adjusts sooner than later because, man, it definitely got us emotional a few times seeing how much Pickles did not want a piece of Bagel. But time will tell, and I think they'll be homies. So that's an exciting piece of news. Kids, still, we don't know. We go back and forth, man. But a second dog is making me already feel a little more responsible. I feel like a little more like, you know, Pickles could chill. She's very independent. Now I got to watch this pup and, like, more to organize and be on top of. And, like, if I'm gone, she's got to be there. It's like there's a lot more to keep track of. And it's already making me be like, oh, I got to make better use of my time, which I know is what kids do for people. So that's cool that that's happening. So, yeah, pumped about that. Talked to some cat lovers over the weekend. Why didn't you get a cat? I go, why don't you fuck off? Why don't you fuck off? Cats, say with me, hate people and aren't as loving as dogs. I have never understood cats. Tigers I get. Look, I've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm not a cat hater, but I'm a dog lover. And by default, I just don't get it. And the reasons are always the same. Oh, they're just so great. They don't need anything from you. Oh, you want a dog? You want a dog to come up and just love you all the time and just be loyal and just snuggle you up and just make you feel good? Yeah. Oh, really? You don't want a cat that's going to judge you and stare at you and hope that you die in your sleep so it can chew on your dick? No. Oh, okay. Okay. So I've never understood the full joy that a cat brings to someone's life. Hey, not looking to ask you to remove it, just don't get it. Cats have, for a long time in my experience, come at me, stare at me. They don't smile. Dogs feel like they smile. When dogs get happy, they wag their tail. What does a cat do? And look, I might be hanging around some fucked up cats, but I've never seen a cat and been like, dude, come here, man. Look at you, you cute little fucking cat. Dogs always. Dogs bring it. They love you. They're pumped. You leave for 2 seconds. They're like, where the fuck did you go? Do you know what it was like back there? I was looking around for 22 seconds. And they're so pumped that you're back. A cat's just like, well, well, well. Look what the cat brought home. Yeah, that's a saying for my people. And you brought home some floozy bitch and some takeout. Well, I've been snuggled up in the couch. Just so you know, I diarrheaed under your pillow and rubbed my cat twat all over your papers for work. Oh, don't give me that bullshit, okay? You haven't changed my litter in 4 days. Yeah, I taught myself how to smoke. What's it to you? How are you, Toots? What's your name? Jill? That was the name of the last bitch. So that's what cats feel like to me every time I look at them. Just managers of like a weird bodega slash night lounge in, you know, Montana. Unhappy. Cats feel unhappy. I know they're happy, but again, I just, nothing about them, you know, exudes positivity. That's a big statement, but I back it up. That being said, the Aristocats, the Disney movie, great movie. But historically, there's more dog movies than cat movies. What does that fucking tell you? Huh? Even Hollywood's fucking with the right side. All Dogs Go to Heaven. Milo and Otis. Well, that's a cat and dog movie, so that's, you know, those cancel each other out. Lady and the Tramp. You know? What else? What other dog movie? Oh, Benji. Jesus Christ. Flipper, the dolphin movie. There was a dog in it. The Shaggy Dog, where the guy becomes a dog. You know who becomes a cat? Kevin Spacey in Nine Lives. Who saw that? Keep your hand raised if you found out later that Kevin Spacey was being a weird fucking pervo to kids while he was making that. Yes, I made the cat movie because, well, I had just finished House of Cards and I needed to work. So don't judge me, but I became a cat. I never thought I would, and I did, okay? Cats are the dogs of the city. Never tried a Kevin Spacey before. Not bad. Somebody did come up to me in Dallas this weekend at Hyenas. 4 sold-out shows. Thanks again for coming out. I've been to Hyenas for 10 years. I found the email. 10 years ago, I went there. First time sold out all 4 shows. So God bless you guys. Somebody comes up to me and goes, hey, do you remember when you did John Lithgow on the Workaholics podcast? This is important. And I go, do I? Harry? And then guess what? I ran into Lithgow. Ran into. Saw him at LAX when I landed a couple days ago. I didn't say what's up because I couldn't recognize him. He had a big white beard. Hold on, snack break for Pickles.
Come here, sugar. Come here, sugar. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Come on up. Come on. Come on up. Come on. Come on. Come on. You gotta come up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah.
See, you can buy your dog's love. Pickles. All right, one more little. So, Dallas was such a blast, dude. The shows were so fun. Hyenas is a great club. Hey, chill, chill, chill. I know you're looking at yourself. You're looking at yourself. Wait, hold on, hold on. Oh, that's just you. That's just you, sugar. That's just you. Oh, fuck. See ya. there's a big TV screen here in the podcast studio. Everyone that came out to Hyenas, God bless you, man. Shows were bananas. A lot of film merch, a lot of pictures. People come up to me getting real heavy about how comedy and the Dr. Phil stuff is like not safe. Well, a few people have told me that I've saved their lives, and that's wild. Comedy cures, I've always said that. Cured my life, and to be able to throw it back is insane. But, man, some people with some heavy stories that really tugged at my heartstrings. God bless you guys for coming out, and I'm glad I'm able to give even a little bit of joy to you by doing some stuff that I really enjoy. So God bless you guys for coming out. There's a white dude, bald, white goatee named Ronnie, who, man, not the guy I would think to be like, I found you on TikTok, man. You saved my life, man. I was depressed. I've been so depressed. The wife's like, he's been so down. It's been awful. Like, he fucking saved my life, man. There's a father of 3, military dude, got real heavy with me. I get messages now a lot, and it's wild, man. It's wild, but it's awesome. And, you know, just got to take care of myself so I can keep on jamming. But those shows were a blast. God bless you guys for coming out. We'll be back. possibly do a Dr. Phil Live there. Working on a few Dr. Phil Lives around the country. Stay tuned on that. But I kind of want to keep it chill as far as Kill Tony and the Comedy Store. Went to Austin after that. Did some shows at the Mothership. Did a few open mics on 6th Street, which was cool just to pop in. And, you know, a stage is a stage, baby. There's always a reason to not go up somewhere. But there were comics. There was a mic. There was a stage. The lighting was decent. And they were pumped that I popped up, and that was cool. And there was actually a gal in the front row who was taping at one point. I go, can you not tape this? This should go nowhere. And she goes, I'm taping it for my friend. He messaged you. He is a paraplegic now. I go, oh, yeah. This guy messaged me. I want to say his name is Chris online, saying that his wife was doing blow with some people in front of their kids. And then he got beat up and broke his neck, and they locked him in the back of his car. Like, and she took the kids. I didn't know if it was spam or real. And then she goes, I'm videotaping this for my buddy. He messaged you. And I go, oh yeah. So there was a live band behind me, and I took the phone and we made a whole song for him. And I was just like, you might be paralyzed, but you gotta visualize a better life tonight for you. Let's cheers everybody. 1, 2, 4. The times that struggle brings. Have a sip. Have some onion rings. Have a drink. But someone should bring it to you. Cause you can't use your hands. Can't use your hands. We got everybody singing along. He enjoyed it. He messaged me back. So that was wild. That was at a place called Shakespeare's Pub in Austin, Texas, on 6th Street. Then I flew to New York and did a commercial for a financial company. And that was fun. 2 days, long days. A lot of, just packing in a lot of, going from shows to shows. The travel is the toughest part of this gig, man. I got fucking tired. And then I should have just gone to bed after these long shoot days in New York. 6, 7 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, I'm going to do spots, man. I'm in New York. Went to the Stand. Went up before Shane Gillis. Joe DeRosa was there. We kicked it in the green room for a bit, so that was fun. Get to chat with Shane about post SNL, and he was. I was just like, dude, I know you've been talking about it at great length, so I don't want to bore you, but like, just tell me, was it awesome? He goes, it was awesome, dude. It was so fun. I go, as fun as it seems? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, and once I got out there, I just kind of settled in, and he goes, it was cool to like share it with all my friends and fam. And I go, that's awesome, dude. And then I said, is it as crazy as it seems? Like the running gun, the wild, you get off from one sketch, they grab you and pull you to another. He's like, oh, it's the craziest thing I've ever done. Craziest thing I've ever done. There's nothing like it, man, which is why the people that have been on the cast are so, it's such an up and down roller coaster you hear. But then also to host it just sounds bananas. But also a rush, you know? And if you do it right, like Shane did, I think he did a really great job. Monologue was awesome. And I told him, I go, dude, it's tough to get the cue card reading down. Only a few cast members in the history of the show, I feel like, have really nailed the, you know, I think it was Beck Bennett or Taryn Killam told me, the trick is to, you want to look at the, let's say this is the cue card, and the person's like right there. You look at the cue card and you read into the cue card instead of looking at them like you would in a scene, like talking to them. You want to look like, or maybe like the cue card's right here. So you look just off to the side. So you're looking where they are, but you need to just like stay following the cue card, which is a tough thing because you want to, you know, then you go back and forth and it looks off. But Will Ferrell, I thought, always mastered that. He just would like never really look fully at the cue card or the person and just made a, he was just brilliant at it. But so cool, man. Shane is on a cool rise right now, dude. From that to Radio City Music Hall. Pretty bonkers. So congrats to you, bud. We'll see people that are so funny get their flowers like that. And also, he got fired from the show, and then they had him back to host. I don't think you understand how crazy that is. People posting about it like, oh, can't believe, it's so cool, he's back. He got fired, now he's back. Yeah, man, that's insane. That's never happened. Canceled, fired from the show before he does anything, comes back to host. Not even 5 years later? Wild. Get out of here, dude. You, like, funny always wins, man, and the cream does rise to the top. I believe that, you know? And he's a nice guy, and he works fucking hard, and he's likable. And it was a good move on their part, too, you know? he said at the stand one night too, he was like, his buddies were like, you should go hard, you go hard on the libs. Why didn't you go harder on the libs? And Shane was like, I don't know, man. They had me back. It feels like a pretty big I'm sorry. You know? They let me host the show. So he also joked about how it'd be, they did joke about how he should maybe like quit. So like walk out and they go, you know, and here's your host, Shane Gillis. And then he walks out and he goes, and what if I just kept walking right past the fucking cameras and was like, he's like, but it's pretty tough to be like, fuck you for firing me, suck my dick, and then go right into a game show sketch. You know, we got a great show tonight, 21 Savages here. So if you do that, he's like, I would have had to have done it at the end of the show. But, man, that is a dream. I want to be a cast member on SNL for a long time. Getting into the one season of CW Mad TV was, I mean, as cool as it gets, just to be on a sketch show. But, man, to go back and host that show would be, I mean, I don't know if anything could top that. I mean, it's just the coolest. That's why I hope the rumors of Tina Fey taking over stay true, because the show shouldn't go anywhere, man. It's awesome. And look, do they always get it right with the cast members? Fuck no. It's casting, dude. It's subjective. You know, look at some of your favorite movies. You're like, oh, wow. You know, Heath Ledger is the Joker. Yeah, you can't imagine anyone else doing that. But like, Jim Carrey is the Riddler in Batman Forever. They offered that to Robin Williams. He said no. They went to Jim Carrey. I mean, it's... Now, would that have been great with Robin Williams? Probably. Wouldn't have been the same with Jim Carrey. I mean, it's just... You know. Joey Lawrence, cast in Blossom, is the brother. What if that was fucking Keanu Reeves? Probably not as funny. Or maybe hilarious, and Keanu develops his crazy comedy career, and Joey Lawrence is in The Matrix. And it's, I mean, those are very similar types too. Instead of Keanu being like, you know, whoa, you got Joey Lawrence going, whoa. And by the way, drink five if you're playing the Joey Lawrence Blossom drinking game at home. Every time he's mentioned, you take a sip of your Zima or your Coors Light. Joey Lawrence and Keanu Reeves, not too far off. I bet they were auditioning for similar parts in the 90s. Joey Lawrence, though, man, Blossom was a hit sitcom on NBC. So you're a lead on a hit sitcom and like the comic relief. You're like the Fonz. He was the Fonz of Blossom. Fonz Blossom, which sounds like a sex movie you pay a little person to do to you in Vegas. Hey, give me the Fonz Blossom. Jesus Christ. Are you sure, man? Yeah, I ain't driving. What's a Fonz Blossom? It's where a little person puts on a leather jacket and goes, I don't know, pours a... They put on the gin blossoms and then he blows me. I don't know. But, yeah. Crazy times. Crazy times we're living in. Austin, full of bananas. Everyone on that 6th Street is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But it's exciting, you know? This episode of the About Last Night podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, there's a lot of things going on during the day. And how do you take time for yourself? You take a nap, you read, you go for a run. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, okay? But time for what, you know? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? How would you use it, player? The best way is to squeeze that special thing into your schedule, whatever's important to you, okay? Make it a priority, okay? And I'll be honest, therapy for me has been something that I've made time for, and it's paid dividends, okay? You need it. You need more of it. How do you do it? Well, you get with BetterHelp. These guys have been leading the charge in beneficial therapy for people for quite some time. And if you've benefited from therapy like me, you know, it's something that you know really works, you know, whether you've been in it or not been in it or had friends do it. It's one of those things that you learn about how to be more positive, coping skills, setting boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It's not just for you and for people that have gone through trauma. It's about really just trying to develop a healthier way and balance to live life. That's been the big thing for me. Working too much, working too hard, and trying to find that that nice yin and yang with my life. You know, be the best dog, dad, and husband I can, and still find time to take a puff of the old ganj from time to time. All right. Well, if you want to get involved with BetterHelp, all you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if you don't like who you're jamming with. Okay. So if you want to do this right now and start living and feeling better, go to BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/aboutlastnight for 10% off your first month. Enjoy the show. What up, Pickles? Come here. Might be time for another snack break.
Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here.
Don't look at the camera. Don't look at the camera, okay? Don't look at the camera. Stay right here. I love you so much. Pickles is just the greatest fucking thing of all time. Here, lay down, lay down, lay down. No, don't look at yourself. Don't look at yourself. No, no, no. Hey, Pickles, no, hey, hey, hey. Chill, 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 chill. Sit. Don't look at yourself. Hey, don't look at yourself. Hey, that's you. You're good. I love you. All right, there she goes. New York was fun. Went to Arizona to do the Innings Fest. You know what the Innings Fest is? It's a big spring training festival. The start of spring training in Arizona every year, they have a thing now, I think the last 4 years, called Innings Fest, where the first two weekends of spring training, they have concerts. Big, it's a music festival with now like baseball podcasts in between. And so I went out there. My friend Ryan Dempster, who used to play for the Cubs, the Reds, a few other teams, great dude, great player. And he has a podcast called Off the Mound. So I did that live, went awesome. Sang a song about about baseball that I wrote to the melody from A Star Is Born, Shallow. I think I have some of that, actually. Actually, we'll cut to it. Here, let's cut to it right now.
The Texas Rangers, will they repeat? Oh, one son of the Yankee now. And the Astros will cheat for sure. The Dodgers are rich, but will lose. Oh, Bryce Harper is so attractive. He can bang your mom in Ken Griffey shoes. I'm a baseball fan. Watch as I dive in. Here we go, baseball fan. Oh, Shohei Ohtani. His swing makes me horny. We're so close to baseball now. Everybody, we're so close.
So yeah, I wrote that on the plane. Ryan was like, I got a live band. I know you like to do improv singing. So we did the interview and then I did that song and then met a few other players, went to stand up live in downtown Phoenix, did a guest spot for Bobby Lee, and then went back to the festival to watch Chris Stapleton. And Tennessee whiskey, you're as sweet as strawberry vine. You're as blue as bad as candy. I don't fucking know how it goes, but every girl was like this. Oh, and every guy was like this. And I saw so many drunk guys pretend to be Stapleton, which was awesome. Just fucking, yeah, it's me, January weekend. Karen, give me another beer, another beer. Yeah, it's me. I mean, dude, everyone was fucking hammered, but in the best way. And yeah, man, Stapleton rips. What a gangster. What a true rock star. The interpreter on stage deserves a raise. The interpreter that he was switching off with was doing the bare min. This guy was air guitaring. And I'm like, do you have to be in a real band to air guitar that well? But he like was doing it too. I mean, he was playing it better probably than Chris Stapleton. Anyway, wild weekend. Had to skip out before I saw Dave Matthews Band and Sheryl Crow, which was a bummer, but had to get back. But shout out to Ryan Dempster. Met Sean Casey, gangster MLB all-star from the 90s and 2000s. Told me some insane Ken Griffey Jr. stories. He was best buds is with Ken Griffey Jr., my childhood hero. And he showed me some texts with him and all these stories. His locker was next to him in Cincinnati for 6 years. So fucking cool, man. And yeah, that was just awesome to get to. As a comedian, you put these athletes and musicians up on pedestals. So once you get to like hang with them, and they look at you the same way, dude. They were all talking to me like, I can't believe you, like, how do you do, you know, so it's a mutual respect, and it's cool to have that. Bobby was hilarious, went to stand-up live, he had a show sold out. He's so funny, he's so neurotic before he goes on stage. He's just like, dude, he's like, oh. He told people, he had one of his openers read a note that said, he's only got 5 new jokes since last time he was here. And they didn't care, man, they just want to see Bobby. It's the Bobby Lee experience, and he crushed, and he was so funny. And just good to see him for a bit and hang in the green room. And Stand Up Live is a great club. trying to bring a Dr. Phil live there, so stay tuned. And yeah, man, then got back to LA, and now we're back to it. The tour is in full effect, dude. AdamRayComedy.com for tickets. I am all over the place coming up. This weekend I'm in LA, which is great. Next week I go on the road with Burt Kreischer, March 14th through the 17th. And then March 28th through the 30th, I'm in Eugene, Oregon, at Olsen Run Comedy Club, new venue. Going to see my dad and hang with my buddy Joe King, who runs that club. And just, you know, get to the Pacific Northwest for a bit. And then, man, shortly after that, we got a new Dr. Phil Live on April 2nd. And then I go to Detroit, the Comedy Castle in Detroit, Michigan. Royal Oak, Michigan, rather. Tickets are moving, baby, which is great. It's a big room, but I can't wait to come back. I haven't been there in 10 years. Every time they book it 2 years out, and every time we locked it in, I had to move it. And you were just shit out of luck until the next come around. So can't wait to go back. It's been 10 years. What if I didn't have any new jokes? I do. I have more than enough jokes and some surprises as well. So Comedy Castle, Royal Oak, Michigan, April 4th through the 6th. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then April 18th through the 20th, I'll be at Comedy Works downtown. Love that club. One of the best. Who doesn't love it? Everyone raves about it. Specials have been shot there. Santino, Rogan, Mitch Hedberg. April 18th through the 20th. It's 420 weekend, baby. So let's rip it up and live it up and turn it up. So that'll be fun. And then obviously May, I've got some shows with Matt Rife in Chicago and Arizona. And then June, Seattle, Cleveland. And then July is like San Diego, I think, and Boston. AdamRayComedy.com, baby. Oh, I did... I went on a Sugar Sean's podcast, Sugar Sean O'Malley, when I was in Arizona, UFC fighter. Wild, dude. Those guys. Man, just talking to them about the fight world, and it was, the studio's in the back of their MMA gym. Dude, these guys are just ripping each other up. Terrifying. I'm like, I could fight. And they're like, oh yeah? I'm like, nah, got a white belt in Taekwondo. Yeah, I am a lover, not a fighter, which is why I love Love is Blind. You ever watch Love is Blind? It's getting juicy. That show might be the best dating show of all time because you start off in the pods. Everyone's putting their best foot forward. What's your... Okay, I wrote down some questions, but I'm just going to speak from the heart. There's a wall in between them. They're in the pods. You have to get to know each other without seeing each other. That's the whole point of the show. Love is Blind. Can you get to know and fall in love with someone by not seeing them? Love is Blind? I want to do Love is Deaf. That's the spinoff. But that's for another pod. Love is Blind. So she's like, okay, so what's your name again? Jimmy. Jimmy, I have some notes here, but I'm just going to speak from the heart. What's your favorite weekend with me? What would be your favorite ideal weekend with me? And he's like, honestly? By the way, if a guy starts a sentence with, honestly, he's about to feed you a big bucket of bullshit. You know, he's about to say some stuff he's never said before. Honestly, I'd probably buy you dinner, and then I'd make you dinner, get you two dinners. You can eat whatever you want. I don't judge. Then I'll make you breakfast and lunch in that order. Then I'll have sex with your vagina appropriately and intensely, but not before I meet your parents and take you shopping and buy whatever you want and wear it. If you want me to wear it, model it so you don't have to take the time to take it out of the bag and put it on, I'll fucking wear your fucking clothes for you. I love you. And she's like, okay, good to know. I can work with that. And then they meet, and sometimes it's not what you ordered. Sometimes you're like, I want a double bacon cheeseburger, and you get, you know... A container of fries with a couple half-eaten chicken McNuggets inside of it and ketchup spilled all over the box. And this guy, Jimmy, thought this girl, Chelsea, was Megan Fox. Oh, at least a lookalike. Because in the pods, he goes, anyone ever tell you who you look like? And she goes, Megan Fox. Didn't even skip a beat. Like, didn't even go, well, sometimes I get Megan Fox or my eyes kind of look Megan Foxy. She could have said Rachel Maddow and it would have been closer. That being said, she's not unattractive, right? Not my type. But she did not look like Megan Fox enough to just say it that quickly and paint the full picture in his head that you're Megan Fox. She goes, I get Megan Fox a lot. And he goes, oh, yeah, dude. Okay, and now we're talking. And I like where this is headed. Megan Fox, huh? Well, I've definitely come to her. And then they walk out, and she's like, and he's like, you know, strapping. He looks like a white guy that definitely says the N-word under his breath, you know, but like in a fun way. Like where his buddies are like, we know you're not racist, dude. You just said it to like get a laugh because we're at Applebee's and it's tough to comedy is tough to cut through here in Applebee's, so you just want to make the wait staff laugh. So she walks in and she sees him and she goes, "Oh my God." And she's like, she's pumped. And then he goes like this. Doors open and he goes, "Cake, what's up, man?" He said, "What's up, man?" to his fiance. That's not a good sign. "Whoa, you look at you. You got hands and boobs and a butt and a face. You got that face that I was talking about. Look at those eyes. Megan Fox. Megan Fox's friend. Megan Fox's friend is what you should have said. Fuck." So, great show. Check it out. I wish I knew somebody on the show. I do, actually. I know Kwame from season 5 from Seattle, or season 4. Anyway, but there's too many reality dating shows. They get the market is saturated. It's Love Island. It's too hot to handle. Surviving Paradise, Bachelor, Golden Bachelor, Just the Tip. You know, it, Don't Tell Your Parents. I Thought You Were Wearing a Condom. Fuck Boat. Anal Island. Pick a lane. Let's get two or three and then call it quits. I'll tell you who's not calling it quits. Me on tour. AdamRedComedy.com for all the tour dates. Come out and see your boy live. Dr. Phil live tonight. This will be out March 15th on my YouTube channel. Subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Click on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AdamRayComedy. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to the podcast, ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And I'll see you guys soon. I'm on After Midnight. I think it was on yesterday. So check that out. You can go back and watch it, I think, on Paramount Plus. Okay. Be good to yourself. Pickles, anything to add? Let's get Pickles up here for one more time. Come here, sweetie. Come here. Come on. Come on. What do you want to say? Manza menya maditsi babaza badu. Venya ubo, venya uma. Manza menya maditsi babo. Venya, ebaba, venya umbo. Sing umbo. Wait, well, fuck. Simba! Can you imagine Rafiki's holding up Simba? Ma! And then Simba just goes, and jumps out of his hands and goes, "Fuck!" And Scar's like, perfect. Perfect. Now I am king. All right. Good night, everybody. Can you tell I haven't smoked weed in a few days? I love you. We'll see you soon. Thanks for watching.